Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you have given us. We enjoy the sunshine and a little bit cooler, but we do also like the warmth. And dear God, I just pray that you would be with all the candidates with this upcoming election, that they will do the right things for us in this trying times, but we know that you are with us and will help to guide us. And I also pray that you'd be with Pastor Tim as he brings your message today. Please open our ears and our hearts that we may understand and can follow you and do more for you. Also, as you are leaving, there will be offering. We pray that the offering will use for your work. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
How great thou art. Good morning. I want to start off this morning by welcoming all of our guests that are here today, whether you are here in person, online, or listening to us on the radio. We just want to say welcome. We're glad you could join us this morning. But before we get into the message or anything like that this morning, let's take a minute and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we want to thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship and to praise you. Father, we ask that this morning this message be your message and not mine. Father, we ask that it's your words that are spoken and not mine. And Father, if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, may we remember it and take it with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we gather together to celebrate Father's. And you may be wondering why. It's because it's Father's Day. If you haven't caught on to that yet, it is Father's Day today. You know, some of us have had great relationships with our fathers growing up. Some have been blessed with amazing dads growing up. And for some of us, not so much. Some of us, when we hear the idea of God being a good father, it's something that we have a hard time wrapping our head around. But thankfully, for some as well, our father may not be our biological father. Maybe it was a stepdad that stepped up when nobody else would. Maybe it was an uncle or a family friend that kind of took you under their wing and kind of was that example of what it means to be a man after God. That in different ways, and there's different people that have played that unique role in our lives, that have played that role of father. And there is different stereotypes that go with dads as well, as I'm sure many of us are aware of. There are stereotypes for everything, and dads by far are no exception to this. You guys know the guy. He's got the polo shirt on. He's got the khaki shorts, the long white socks, and the New Balance white tennis shoes. It's like the dad starter kit to get them rolling. You know, they can do anything with this outfit. You know, you can go out, you can grill, you can work in the yard, get the lawn all done, you can run to the store, and even to the displeasure of the wife, you can make that into a date night outfit if you need to. You've got it covered. Dads have different and unique qualities as well. Have you ever noticed that a dad can seem to get into his recliner, put on a movie, a NASCAR race, a football game, it doesn't really matter, lay back into that recliner and just doze off into it. But the moment you touch that remote, he was awake the whole time, and don't touch that, I'm watching it. I may be talking about that more so on the experience of growing up with my own dad, because I could have swore I seen him fall asleep at lap 50, and it was lap 200, but somehow he was still awake in there, and I wasn't able to change the channel. Or when a dad goes to grill, you don't touch the grill, right? That's his space. Before he turns the steaks, before he turns over the hot dogs or the burgers or anything, he has to click the tongs, okay? It's just you have to make sure they're in full working order before you do anything with them. Or the lastly here, what about when it comes to loading up something in the back of the truck or the trailer? You get the ratchet straps out, and this isn't just a dad thing, this is a man thing. You go ahead, and after everything's secured down, you have to flick the ratchet strap and say, yep, that's not going anywhere. And ladies, let me explain why. It's science. The moment we don't do that, it's flying off the back as we're driving down the road. Okay, so that has to happen. And of course, most of all, what are dads known for? Dad jokes. You know, I remember growing up, and one particular one I heard over and over again, I could go up to my dad and be like, Dad, I'm hungry. And he'd be like, nice. Nice to meet you, hungry. I'm Dad. It's just the way it works. Now, all jokes aside, Dads have a very different role in our lives. They play a very unique role in each one of our lives. And different than what moms do, and they're both equally important. Don't think of anything different on that end, but they play a very unique one. I found a thing this week that I wanted to share with you about what a dad is. And it says, a dad is someone who wants to catch you before you fall, but instead is there to pick you up and brush you off and let you try again. A dad is someone who wants to keep you from making mistakes, but instead lets you find your own way, even though his heart breaks in silence when you get hurt. A dad is someone who holds you when you cry, scolds you when he breaks the rules, and shines with pride when you succeed, and has faith in you even when you fail. It reminds me of when I was a kid growing up, we had a little Shetland ponies, we had little horses and stuff, and my dad, I was 7 years old at the time, and we had a new one that needed to be broken. And what did my dad do? He thought it was a great idea to throw me on there instead of him trying to break the pony. And I remember the first buck, and I went flying. My dad made sure I was okay and then lost it in laughter. But he put me right back up on the horse again. He kept trying to push on. And you know what? Turned into be a great little pony to have around. Dads truly play a unique role in our lives. And I'm sure many of us have different memories. So what is this role that men are called to play in the lives of families? It's not just the fun and the goofiness. But depending on who you ask, you're going to get different answers on the role of dads. You know, the words that are often brought to mind to explain what a man's role is in the household and within being the dad is provider, protector, sometimes disciplinarian. It might even be coach or teacher. There's many different things that a man can be called within this role. Though these things are often correct, the Bible tells us first and foremost, we are called to be leaders. We are called to be leaders for our families. And it tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 22 and 23, starting with 22, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. And by he is the Savior, not the husband, Christ is the head, is the Savior of the body. Let's clarify that, men. Don't get too excited here either. These are just a couple of verses devoted to the wife. The rest of the passage is devoted to your role and what you're responsible for. It tells us in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We are to love our wives, we are to love our families as Christ loved the church. That means we are to give our lives for them. We are to put their needs before our own needs. We are to put our family's needs in front of our own. We should be the last in line. It tells us in verse 28, in the same way husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. Remember, when you're married, you're joined together in one union. If you are not showing proper love to your wife, you're not showing proper love to yourself. And just because the Bible says a woman is to submit to their husband doesn't mean that the husband gets to act like a dictator in the home. It doesn't mean, as Christian men, it means that we have to lead our families in the ways of God. You don't get to be demanding. You don't get to throw around your weight and say it's my way or the highway. And you don't get to rule with an iron fist. Instead, men, we are called to love our families like Jesus loved the church. You're called to influence your wife. You're called to influence your families with biblical teachings. You're called to show Christ with your voice and your actions, because this brings glory to God. This brings glory to your spouse and your family. Let me say that again. You are to show Christ with your voice and actions. If your voice and action don't glorify God, what are you doing? The fruit of a good biblical-based husband and father is a strong, confident, spiritually mature wife and family. You know, the role of the husband in the Bible starts with leadership, but it also encompasses providing and protecting. A husband will never influence his wife if he does not care for her. And the same goes for the children. You will not be able to influence your children unless you care for them. Not rule over them, but care for them. The husband and the father can demand things from the family. And there are men that do. They sit there and they make demands to their family. And as a result, a lot of times that the family might follow in line, they might follow in order, and the husband's thinking, I got this, but he will never truly have the wife's heart or the children's heart unless he actually cares for their needs, cares for their well-being and protection, both physically and spiritually. He will always have this divide in there unless he cares for their hearts. He cares for them indirectly. 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Husbands, we should keep that in mind. In Colossians 3:19, it says, husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. You don't get to rip your wife apart because you don't like dinner or because she failed somewhere that you thought she should succeed. You don't get to rip your wife apart because things didn't go the way you wanted to. Instead, you are called to be gentle and loving as Christ is with us. You are called to be uplifting in those difficult moments that she thought she failed. You're supposed to be standing there helping her up, not tear her down. You are to encourage her. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. Don't trap your kids in with mistakes. Don't try to upset them. Instead, become that dad that you're called to be. Instruct them in ways of God from their youth on. Be a person they can go to, knowing that you will help guide them in whatever they're facing. Help guide them in the right direction. You're called to be an example to your children on the type of love that God gives each of us. So when they hear about how God is a loving father, they can understand it and they can see it. The way you emulate what it means to be a father shapes the way that your kids look at the father up in heaven. Think about that for a minute. If you emulate the love of a father, it is easier for your family and for your children to understand the love that God has for them. When the Bible keeps telling them over and over again that he is a loving father and they have no loving father actions at home, how are they to relate? Because they have nothing to compare it to. If you make a mistake as a husband, don't be scared to admit to the kids that you made a mistake and ask for forgiveness. You know, kids copy us. Have you ever noticed that? Like little kids especially. You know, if you ever want to know how close attention they are, drop a word that you don't want your kid to say at about 2 years old around you, and then the next time you're in an awkward meeting, they will repeat that exact word blatantly clear for everyone to hear. They copy everything we do. And yet so often we try to teach our kids, do as I say, not as I do. Instead, we should be giving them an example that they can look to, that you can actually say, do as I do and do as I say both. That we're not caught off guard, because I guarantee you those actions and words mean more than just telling them what to do. So men, what is your role in the family? It's to love your wife. It's to love your children as Christ loved the church. It's to watch out for them. You know, God loves each of his creation. God has blessed you with the wife. He has blessed you with children. And he desires that you care for them. In no place in Scripture does it teach or say that women and children should be treated as a second-rate citizen within your own home. Instead, God finds them so precious that he asks for us men to step up and take special care of them. A care that we are uniquely designed to give. Don't get me wrong, women are able to take care of themselves in a lot of ways. Yet, God did make us different. He made us men different for a reason. And he charged us at providing and protecting our families, to lift them up, to teach them. You know, the physical nature and the strength of a man was not given to us to lord over the women and children. Neither did God create women to simply wait on men. He made us to complement each other, to be a partnership throughout life, to be a partnership that honors God. you know, we go through all of this morning, and we're like, okay, we get it. But so often, I think we underestimate the role that we play as men. We have put off our God-given talents and roles to others. We have started taking more of a back seat as men. No, often we aren't the ones teaching our kids about God anymore. We've pretty much handed that all over to Sunday school and youth group. And don't get me wrong, those are great things, but that's a half hour to an hour once or twice a week that they get to hear about God. We don't often teach them about life. We've handed that off to the schools as well. And we don't teach them that God is important. I'll point something out for you guys. The typical U.S. congregation draws an adult crowd that's 61% female and 39% male. And that's through all ages. Almost 25% of married, church-going women will go to church without their husband. 25%. And we wonder why the youth don't see going to church as important. If dad doesn't go, why do I have to? Did you know 85% of people in jail have no father figure at home growing up? Did you know fatherless children or inactive fathers in their lives are 5 times as likely to live in poverty? Did you know that fatherless children have a greater chance of repeating a grade? And fatherless children have a higher rate of emotional problems. There's an epidemic going on in America right now, especially within the homes. And that's the lack of men stepping up and being the men that God has created us to be. It's us lacking to be the husbands and fathers that he has positioned us to be. We no longer stand up for biblical principles. We no longer stand and lead in our own families as God has called us to. We no longer put on the full armor of God every day. And we wonder what is happening in America. It's simple. It's the lack of men being the men that we're called to be. There was a study done. I want to be very clear, gentlemen, on how important your job is on this. There was a study done in the Washington Area Coalition of Men's Ministry. It was about the effects that men have in the spiritual foundation and the spiritual foundation of the families. When a child is the first one in his family to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and to start going to church of some kind, we have a 3.5% chance of reaching the rest of the family for Jesus. 3.5% chance if a child comes to know Jesus. If a mother comes to be a Christian and comes to church and gets to know Jesus and so forth, we have a 17% chance of the rest of the family coming to know Jesus and coming to church. But here's the facts. If a dad starts putting God first, starts leading his family and becomes a Christian within the family and starts leading in that way, we have a 93% chance the rest of the family will come to know Jesus. Dads, don't underestimate your role. Don't underestimate the effects that you have in your kid's life. 93%. But yet we're the ones often still sitting at home on Sunday mornings, not wanting to come in and putting everything else in before church. You are in a position that is uniquely made for you. Moms have their roles. You have yours. Don't forsake it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of times stepping up and doing your job is easier said than done. Oftentimes, we underplay the measure that a man historically faces in life, and some of these things hold men back from being the dad that they're called to be or that they want to be. But like, oftentimes, the dad is the one who is responsible for paying the bills. I know it's not in everybody's household, but oftentimes, it is the dad who's worried about these things and taken care of. He's worried about fixes, all the everything that needs to be fixed around the house. The honey-do list gets longer and longer and longer and longer. Okay? And you ladies, you don't have to remind him every 3 months. He knows he's got to get it done, okay? It happens. The vehicles have problems. It needs new tires, brakes, oil lights keep coming on. The boss wants you to put in more time at work, maybe even coming in on Saturdays. For you farmers out there, the crops are growing and you need to get them in. You've got other things you need to take care of. The family wants another vacation this year. And on top of that, you're expected to keep up with your friends, even if there's only a few close ones left. We're expected to make it to all the kids' events. The wife wants a date night. Don't forsake that one. We have to help pick up the kids from different activities. And we get up in the morning and we run until the end of the day nonstop. And when you do have time to sit down and enjoy, a lot of times life can seem overwhelming and you still have everything you need to do going in the back of your head. The thing that makes it so much... The thing that makes so much of this difficult is not just the stuff we have to worry about. It's that oftentimes us men don't have people to talk to about these things. And we hold all these burdens inside. We carry these burdens on our own. You know, the wife comes and talks to you about everything. The kids come and complain about different things going on. Other people in the community might, the job might, yet you don't know who you can go and talk to through it. I just want you to remember Matthew 11:28-30. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in the heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thus, burden that you're carrying, that thing that you keep, hand it over to God. When the family comes to you and you're not sure where to go, seek God for wisdom to handle it. You know, King Solomon was one of the wisest people, the Bible tells us. The wisest person that ever lived. He wrote most of the book of Proverbs. If you haven't read through there, I highly recommend it. It's a really smart book. Clearly, he's got a lot of wisdom on how to handle life. But God gifted him with unsurpassed wisdom. See, when King Solomon became king, he asked God for something. And he says in 1 Kings 3:9, "So give your servant a recipient heart to judge your people and to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" He put God and his people first. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom to oversee God's people, the people he was responsible for. And that's the same for you. You are to seek God daily to figure out how you are to lead your family and how God has uniquely equipped you for your wife and your children and for your role in life. You're to seek him for wisdom. You know, in James 1:5, it flat out tells us, "Now, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it to all generously and ungrudgingly and will be given to him." Seek God for your wisdom. He doesn't hold any of it back for you. He gives it out clear as day when you ask for wisdom. And dads, a lot of times us men can be very stubborn. We don't like to ask for directions. God will give us that wisdom we need to lead our families in the proper way. We don't need to underestimate our roles. Kids need to see you emulate what it means to be a follower of Jesus. They need to see that God is important in life. See, when your kids don't see you reading your Bible, they'll assume it's not important. When they see you that you don't pray, they'll assume it's not important to pray. And dads, when they see you deciding not to join the rest of the family for church, they just will assume it's not important to go to church. The world already is telling them that God's not important. The world is already tries to distract them from anything that's good and godly. Don't let them see that at home. Don't let your children see that at home. I want to encourage each of you today, take time to read the Bible with your kids. Take the time to pray with your kids. Take time to bring them to church. Interesting fact about that. Three biggest holidays, the most attended church services: Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. The least attended church service: Father's Day. We're telling our kids that it's not important to go to church. We're telling our kids that God's not important by our actions and our words. And we just saw a little bit ago, you have a 93% chance of your family coming to know Jesus if the dad is the one who takes that role. When we say it's not important, we wonder why our kids find it not important. Dads, I want to encourage you to teach what it means to be a man after God's own heart. And not just with your words, but in your actions. not just to your kids, but your grandkids. Proverbs 22:6 says, start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Meaning if you teach them now as they grow older, they won't depart from the faith. They may have a moment of crisis. They may have a moment as they're going through that, as they're growing up. But they will return to God. How you go about doing this and how you go about teaching your family is not a checklist that you can go down each and every day. I wish I could tell you do X, Y, and Z, and it'll all work out. But each family is unique, and you are uniquely gifted for your family, men. But what I do want to encourage you is if you're not already praying with your children, if you're not already reading your Bible with your children, start off with praying with them at night before they go to bed. It'll take you 2 minutes. If you're not already reading your Bible with your kids, pick a night out of the week that you take 15 minutes and you share either a chapter of the Bible or like your favorite Bible story. And I'm going to here to tell you that if you as a family start doing these things, you are going to see a transformation in your family's dynamic that you would not expect. You're going to start seeing something happen that you never expected. And I don't care how old your kids are at this moment. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to start stepping up and being that man that God has called us to be. At least you're doing something then. And if you're still not sure, I know there's some godly older men inside of our church that I can assure you would walk beside you and help you. And I want to encourage you to seek that out if that's something that you need, even if it's just for accountability. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We want to thank you for the opportunity we have to join together. Father, we want to thank you for fathers that are here today. Father, I know it's not always easy playing our role and being the men that we're called to be. But Father, I ask for wisdom and guidance for each one of them that are here, each one of them that heard it on the radio. May they understand the importance in which they play within their families. And the love that you have for them and the wisdom that you will hand them. Father, may they not be scared to step up to that role. May they embrace it and seek you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Lord, I hunger for more of you.
As you head out this week, dads, I want to say happy Father's Day. I hope you enjoy your day, and we thank you for you. May you go out. We have a little something for you. And I challenge you, look at where you're spending your time, your energy. Is it glorifying Him, or is it glorifying yourself? God bless, guys.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.